That is a question to which the most obvious answer is, how long is a piece of string? It, of course, varied enormously, not only geographically, but in terms of time. Britain is geographically a small place, and it's surrounded by sea, but of course the longer you go back in time, the more relatively big a place seems to the people who live there because of the difficulties of transportation and the restrictions of weather. So Britain then was not a homogeneous society. It was made up of a number of different tribal groups who came and went and presumably became involved in all sorts of tribal groupings and alliances, virtually all of which we will never know anything about because we don't have the historical accounts to work from. There's an extensive range of prehistoric monuments running right the way through from the Neolithic into the Bronze Age and right up into the Iron Age, where you get the hill forts, the Iron Age hill forts in the middle of the first millennium BC, which have to be representations of prestige and authority and perhaps territorial control. And they indicate a level of stress, if you like, within the communities, because they must, well, certainly suggest to me that land, property, resources were things that were becoming increasingly at a premium as the population increased. And the tensions in society were expressed through these monuments. These to some extent fall out of use towards the end of the first millennium BC, and instead what we have are the oppida, these low-lying enclosures which appear particularly in the south and east. Now, that raises another really more interesting aspect to Britain at that point in history. By the end of the first millennium BC, Britain was on the fringe of a highly developed Mediterranean world, and there is simply no avoiding the fact that Britain was influenced by it to a greater or lesser extent. The Roman Empire had become the most important player by the end of the first millennium BC. Augustus, and before that Caesar, and then Augustus had really consolidated control of Gaul, and that meant that the Roman Empire was just a few tens of miles away from Britain. Now, at that stage in the proceedings, what we see is this. There is a tribal set up in Britain. There are tribes all the way across the British Isles in different shapes or forms. And the closer you get to the continent, the more the tribal elite of Britain appear to have expressed their identity and status through the possession of Roman or classical type artifacts. And those appear in their graves, such as imported wine amphorae from the Mediterranean, sometimes pure luxury goods like silverware. Now, these may or may not have been bought from the Roman Empire. They may have been donations, they may have been bribes, they may have been gifts. It's very difficult to say. But it does look as if the tribal leaders of the south and east of Britain were seeing themselves increasingly in a classical idiom. They used Latin terminology on their coins, so the word rex, for example, appears on some of the tribal coinage. The Romans were quite deliberately interfering. This certainly went on between the time that Caesar invaded Britain and then the Claudian invasion in 43, nearly a century later. The Romans were very definitely interfering in British power politics. Now, that's one aspect of society in Britain, the tribal elite. The vast majority of the population, however, would have had little or nothing to do with this. It's pretty obvious from the archaeology of Iron Age homesteads, farmsteads, that they had little or no access to these imported goods in the same way. They certainly had access to high-quality goods that were manufactured in the Iron Age in Britain, but they didn't have high-quality Roman pottery or wine amphorae in their farmsteads. What we're looking at is a predominantly rural society made up of very small communities who had little or no political right, if you like, within the tribal groups. They're producing agricultural material for themselves, for subsistence. The marginal produce, the extra produce, as far as we can see, is probably being taken off them by the tribal elite and used to service their extravagant lifestyles, because we know from Roman writers that some of the basic produce of Britain was being shipped abroad in order to pay for imported Roman material that the elite got to enjoy. So the picture must be, broadly speaking, of a very largely rural and quite poor society, certainly by classical standards, with a very accomplished culture in terms of the quality of the roundhouses that they used, highly accomplished at farming, increasingly improving their farming methods. But it wasn't a consumer society of the type that you see in the Roman world or in Roman Britain in years to come. That was all going to change very dramatically with the arrival of the Romans.